Wednesday, December 28th, and this is Geek Night. Tonight we talk about Lupin's Essay, Galaxy Express 999, the first original movie, and Samurai Champloo.
Let's do this!
So, no one's really in my office this week. Everyone took vacation except me, and one Indian guy who's pretty cool.
No, people are in my office, but the train is kind of empty. Except for this morning when one of the trains didn't show, and then we had twice as many people on the next train, and it was kind of sucky.
Though my coworker, he gave me a gift that's either going to kill me or be awesome. And I won't know until New Year's when I actually try to use this gift.
It's probably some sort of poison alcohol or something.
Well, the thing is, I very much enjoy my wine, and I very much enjoy port. Scott doesn't, but I am not Scott. And this guy had this old bottle. It's about 7 years old since he got it. And it aged for many years before that. And it's a South African port wine, Tawny. And basically, port wine is weird because there's sediment and crap in it, like floating around. It looks like there's dirt floating around in it. You got to decant it and do all this weird stuff to drink it. And it's an old, expensive, cool bottle of port. And I'm going to open it on the new year. And if it doesn't kill me, I'll have something to say about it next Monday.
It'll be pretty hilarious if, you know, you open it and then you barf and then you try to drink it and you barf and it's just poison.
Can't be worse than whatever that spoiled liquor was your parents had.
That was something my grandpa had. I don't know what the hell they called it, but it's this weird yellow stuff and it's just, wow.
What do they say? There's only one drink you can make with it?
My dad said there's only one drink you can make with it, and he's probably right because he knows a lot about that kind of shit.
Yeah. So, in real news, you know how a while ago we made a big deal about this Windows exploit where Internet Explorer, you could get screwed? There's another one that's worse.
How could it be worse than visit a website, your computer is rooted? Nothing you can do about it.
It's visit a website, your computer is rooted, and it's harder to patch it or work around it.
Great.
Basically, Windows, there's this file format, WMF, a Windows meta file.
I thought those were Windows Media Files.
I heard Windows. Slotower says Windows Metafile.
Whatever.
And they can contain media. They can also contain viruses. And Firefox won't protect you, nor will Opera, nor will anything.
So it's in the code in Windows that processes these files, no matter what program opens the files.
Yes. There is no patch. There is really nothing you can do about it. So if you're running Windows, don't go to suspicious websites for at least the next month until a patch comes out. You're kind of hosed.
So, remind me why people use Windows again?
They don't know better.
Oh, right.
I mean, unless you play games, you have no reason to use Windows anymore. Because, I mean, like, just the other day, when over New Year's, we had Scott's grandma had an old lady friend who needed help with her computer. And we went over there to try to, you know, fix it or whatever was wrong with it. And it just had viruses, and there's really no way to fix it.
Yeah, and the viruses had disabled Norton, so we couldn't use Norton. She was on dial-up, so we couldn't really download any tools to help us. We didn't have any tools with us. And it changed her homepage, which kind of confused her. But really, there was nothing protecting her from getting more viruses at this point. And we couldn't clean them up, short of formatting the hard drive and installing Windows again.
Yeah.
And for what she did, which is like visit one website, do email and word process, Linux would have been more than enough. 10,000 times more than enough.
In fact, in January, most likely, we're going to head back down there, give her Linux, and we'll probably have a full report on us converting two cool old ladies to Linux.
Yeah, my other grandma uses Linux already because I just gave her a computer, but they don't know how to use it. But this grandma would know how to use a computer better, so we'll see.
Yeah, but I'm starting to see, I mean, a lot of people, like, whenever there's a big exploit, a lot of apologists seem to always say things like, oh, yeah, this was just one bad thing, and then Microsoft patches it. If you haven't noticed, this has been happening on a regular basis for the last couple of years with increasing frequency.
Yeah, the thing is that people are like, oh, okay, they've patched most of the exploits or whatever, but that's only if you're, like, a company or something and you maintain your Windows and you put a lot of effort into it and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, you can get it to be usable and relatively perfect, or even perfect as Windows can be. But Linux, you don't have to do anything. It just is. Even a shitty old Linux might be shitty, but it won't fuck up.
I mean, there are a few exploits for old versions of Linux. Like, Red Hat 5 had a bunch of exploits.
But they're not flying around the net crazily. You won't get them just visiting websites. Not that I'm, you know, planning on using Blu-rays or HD DVDs or anything anytime soon. Because, you know, I don't have an HD TV, and I probably won't get one. And, you know, I'm probably not going to get a PlayStation 3. So, it's not like I care, but if one of the formats has to win out, it looks like it's going to be Blu-ray. Now, Blu-ray supposedly has more space to store more stuff, which I guess is good. And supposedly it has DRM, but HD DVD also has DRM, so they're both bad.
And we're really rooting for DVD John to un-DRM it real quick.
Yeah, DVD John become Blu-ray John. But apparently, the reason I think Blu-ray is going to win is because today we found out that it's going to have regioning, which, you know, I guess is some sort of necessary evil nowadays, but...
No, it's not a necessary evil. That's horseshit.
Well, okay. Yeah, it's
just an evil.
Yeah.
It exists solely to limit supply, segment markets, and make profits for the company.
Yeah.
It has no benefit other than to the company that designed it and implemented it.
Yeah, pretty much. But Japan and the U.S. on Blu-ray will both be region one, which means
really
that a lot of things. I mean, how are they going to sell Japanese anime DVDs for $40 and American ones for $20? Well, I guess they'll be Blu-rays, so there might be more money across the board.
Well, the way they do that now is they delay the American releases several months, hoping that the people in Japan just won't be able to wait and they'll buy the expensive Japanese.
Well, that's
DVD.
Not going to work now if the Blu-rays are all region one across, because people will just start buying Blu-rays. Anime fans will get Blu-ray players and get Japanese DVDs.
Which plays right into the... Basically, it'll only screw the American anime publishers.
Yeah, but
especially if the Japanese start doing what they seem to be doing a lot more, which is putting English subtitles on their internal releases.
Yep. But at the same time, if the Americans keep putting their Blu-rays out cheaper than the Japanese Blu-rays, then it'll screw the Japanese public. Eventually, what you're going to get is you're going to get the Americans who want stuff right away and don't care about the cost, buying from Japan, and the Japanese who care about cost and don't need it as soon as it comes out, buying from America, and it's going to be all screwed up.
Yeah, but it also kind of, I mean, American and Japanese culture, at least as far as geeks are concerned, are moving toward each other.
Mm-hmm. Definitely the geek arena, Japan, U.S., merging.
Of course, if you step back from geekery, you realize that most Americans just don't even really know where Japan is or what it does.
Yeah, they know nothing about it other than cars come from there, and, you know, the people look different.
I mean, I feel bad, because there's a cool Korean guy in my office, and I sit my share an office with him, and he's a really cool guy. He's into video games, he has a wife, kid, all that stuff. And the rest of the people in the office don't seem to realize that there's a difference between, you know, all the different Asian countries, and that Korea, Japan, China, they're all different.
Yep, very different. I mean, I used to not be able to tell the difference, but I knew there was a difference, and I would be like, "So which one are you?" But now, I can mostly know the difference. I mean, I probably couldn't tell you the difference between a Cambodian or a Vietnamese guy, but I could tell you the difference between a Chinese, a Korean, and a Japanese guy, which are the major ones, you know. And I can't expect people to, you know, be able to recognize, you know, which country people are from just by looking at them and talking to them.
Yeah, I don't expect that, but I expect people our company was looking into hiring some guy who happened to have the same last name as the Korean guy in my department, just because it's a common Korean name.
Mm-hmm.
So someone asked him, seriously, do you know him? And the guy looked and he's like, that name's like Smith.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yep.
And they actually seriously suggested that he should interview the guy to make him feel more at home.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like that Seinfeld episode. Was it Barbara Chang or something like that?
Yeah, Donna Chang.
Donna Chang. They thought by the name, they were like, oh, Asian. And it wasn't Asian. It was just Donna Chang Steen. Changed her name to Chang. And it was, yeah, Seinfeld is funny.
My coworkers are all, I mean, they know that I like Japanese animation. Because I have my office is full of wall scrolls and little figurines and pencil boards.
The only thing I have is a little Mario.
The background and all my PCs are anime things. And all the servers I built, I'm putting anime-themed backgrounds on them and all this stuff.
Awesome.
But every now and then, when they're looking for some sort of support online, they'll run afoul of a Chinese website because we do a lot of business with China. And they always come in like, you know Japanese, come and read this. And I walk in, I'm like, that's Chinese, and I don't know Japanese to begin with, so I don't know what you want.
Yeah, what are they thinking?
I don't know what they're thinking.
The same thing the people who are running Windows are thinking.
Ah.
Nothing.
Yeah, don't run Windows.
Okay. All right, so one of my favorite kinds of music is the nerdcore hip-hop. You know,
Optimus Rhyme.
MC Frontalot. So there's these guys, and I'll admit that their rap skills are not the greatest. But their lyrics are very good, and their music video is very good. And they are called 64K, and they're elite, let me tell you.
Yeah, only one of them really had the rapping skills.
And it wasn't that great skills to be, anyway. You know, he was better than the other two, but he still wasn't great.
Yeah. It was an amusing video to watch. It went on a little long, and I probably would have stopped watching, except for the fact that while it was kind of corny, the lyrics, if you listen to the words, were very clever.
Very, very clever.
That's mostly what they got going for themselves.
Yep. So, you know, and definitely, I love the part where the... It's great because they go through, like, all the history of gaming, all the way from Commodore up to, like, stuff that's not even out yet. And if you are also elite, a lot of the stuff will just, like, ring true with you. Like, the one PC guy, he goes in and he's, like, he's talking about the PC games he played and how he was so great. And he's like, the best is still MechWarrior. And I'm like, yeah, MechWarrior. You know?
This is Gauss.
Yeah. So, you know, if you listen to this, then I'm sure one of the guys will say some things that ring true with you if you're a gamer and... You'll enjoy it.
So, my thing, I ran into... Well, first of all, you all know the Zapruder film. The film of JFK being shot by some guy named Zapruder, who just happened to be there and happened to be filming at the time.
Yep.
And, first of all, whenever you've seen it, because a lot of people have seen it in documentaries or on TV or whatever, and it looks like it's the zoomed-in thing of, like, Kennedy, and it's real short.
And a lot of times they show it in black and white, too.
Yeah, which I don't get, because it was filmed in color.
Yep.
But... Basically, if you ever watch the real Zapruder film, it's zoomed way out. You can see a lot more than they show you on TV. Two, it's real shaky and hard to see anything.
Mm-hmm.
So someone has taken it and stabilized the image. So instead of the JFK shaking around on the screen, the edge of the screen shakes around. They did a whole bunch of optimization things, and the end result is a very watchable, very creepy film of JFK being murdered.
Snuff.
Yeah, basically it is.
Wow.
It also very nicely disproves the somewhat silly theory a lot of people have had that the Secret Service guy sitting in the front seat turned around and shot him.
Yeah, like you.
I just said it because I had a high school AP U.S. history.
Yeah,
AP
but when
World
you
history
said it, you sounded pretty convinced.
I said it that way because that's the way he presented it, and it was funny that way.
No, no, no.
One day we had a class, and he shut the door, and he's like... So, I'm going to show you all who really shot JFK. And it was just kind of funny. One time we got a Secret Service guy in class to talk about stuff. And he shut the door and he showed the guy the video. And he was like, explain that. And the Secret Service guy was like, what the fuck? What the hell? I'm here to talk about not this.
Crazy, crazy teachers.
But if you watch this video, which is nice and cleaned up, you see that the guy turns around and has this look of, oh shit, on his face. And he's not really pointing anything at JFK.
Yeah, definitely not pointing anything. I mean, you don't even see bullets coming from anywhere or anyone shooting anything in the video. It's just, oh, there he is. Oh, my God, he's shot.
It's kind of eerie because he's shot and his wife is leaning over like, are you okay? And the guy in front is like, what the hell's going on? And it looks like everyone's just like trying to figure out what happened. And then suddenly his head explodes.
Yeah, it's funny because if you look at the grassy knoll, there's this guy who's like falling over himself.
Yeah, like he falls over and rolls.
Yeah, like he heard the shots. He must have heard the shots. He was probably like ducking and stumbling, and it was pretty funny looking at that guy.
Nah, he was the third gunman. He was running from the scene.
Oh my God.
Ah!
No, I'm pretty sure he's just some dumb guy.
Yeah, because we all know that the truth was that Chuck Norris went back in time and Roundhouse kicked him to death.
Duh. You can see it right in the video. It's just in between frames because he Roundhouse kicked so fast.
Because remember, if you can't see Chuck Norris, you're seconds from death. So it's anime day.
Yeah, and it would be also comic book day, except on holiday weeks when there's no Monday, Diamond ships comic books on Thursday, which means I get them tomorrow. And next week I'll also get them on Thursday, so... But you're going to have to wait. But it's be a good wait because every great comic is coming out.
Yep.
In this week, so fair.
Plus, we had a chance to go through some other stuff we've got lying around, and we watched three shows we can talk about.
Yeah, it's good to have anime on the computer.
Yep. So we got some Lupin the Third action, but not the Lupin the Third action that you're probably going to expect.
Mm.
Got some Galaxy Express 999, because we're really on a kick with that guy's works now.
Yep.
And Samurai Champloo.
Which Rim hadn't seen.
Nah, because I was on co-op when they showed it in club, and never got around to watching it.
Yep, so you watched the first episode of that.
So Lupin the Third, we love.
Lupin is like the awesomest dude, even though once you watch it enough, it's just the same thing over and over.
For some reason, it's still entertaining every time.
And I mean, it's especially great in a group, because just you sit there, you watch it, and everyone's yelling and screaming when the same things happen. It's just hilarious.
Yep. Oh my god, he shot him! Oh my!
Oh my god, that guy was Lupin in disguise! Oh my god, that guy was Lupin in disguise! Oh my god, he escaped in a miracle! Oh my god, he escaped in another miracle! Jigen shot someone, Goemon cut someone, oh my god.
Well, we got a hold of, as far as we know, the first Lupin animation ever.
Yep, the Lupin pilot.
It was the pilot for the first anime of Lupin. I mean, if you've seen Lupin on the Cartoon Network, that's actually the second TV show.
Yeah, they don't tell you that. The first TV show, the theme song is like, Lupin, 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 Lupin.
Yeah,
Lupin
you're not
third.
Singing that.
Da, da, Lupin the Third.
And this was the pilot for that. It's old, old, old school, but you know what? It's the same action.
It was so weird because even though there was just some dumb guy being the voice of Lupin and what was happening was really kind of weird.
It was just an excuse to introduce a bunch of characters.
Yeah, like half of the stuff was just like every time you saw a new character, which wasn't really new to us because we knew the characters, well, most of them. It just, you know, it explained who they were. So it starts out, it's like Zenigata, the guy who chases Lupin. Lupin, the great thief.
Yep.
Jigen, his sidekick, the great shot.
Fujiko, their arch nemesis.
But then it was all weird because in all the Lupin I've ever seen or read, Goemon, the ninja samurai guy, is helping Lupin and he, you know, with
even
his
from
sword.
The first episode of the second TV, they're best friends.
Yep. But in this one, they were like, Goemon, the guy who was sworn to kill Lupin. We were like, what? Is this some kind of one of Lupin's tricks?
But no, he tries to kill him.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. So now I kind of want to read some like old Lupin manga, because that's obviously, I think, the way it originally was. And there must have been at some point where it turned around.
Yeah.
And I want to read the story of how that turned around, you know, because that would be pretty interesting.
Plus, the old Lupin, he's a lot less careful with the lives of others.
Well, in the manga, he just kills people left and right because he's a bad dude.
Like, one of the examples in this pilot of how cool Lupin is he's in a plane, and it lands on top of a car, and he jumps out of the car, and the plane flies away. Then he throws a stick of dynamite through the window of the car, and then he jumps off the car, and then the car explodes and goes off a cliff.
Yep.
What the hell?
When you're a thief like that, I mean, I guess, I don't know, just easier to just kill all the guys in your way. And then later, when they made Lupin, I guess, more the hero kind of guy, I don't know. Maybe they wanted Lupin to be like, you like him even though he's a bastard. And then later, they wanted to make him not a bastard and you like him because he's cool.
I mean, he's still kind of a bastard.
Kind of, but he steals things, but then, like, you always see, like, when he steals crazy stuff, he'll always give it back or he'll drop it or...
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't actually steal, like, where you go, hey, you stole that. You'll never say that.
Except in the TV show. In the TV show, he just steals things from people and keeps them.
Yeah, that's true.
The movies are really where it's different. It's like every movie, he tries to steal something, but then he ends up helping someone out and doing the right thing every time.
Yep.
Even if he doesn't want to.
I guess that's just what they, you know, need to do in a movie to sell it, I guess, because people wouldn't go see it otherwise. I don't know.
All I know is that there are more Lupin movies than I have seen, and I have seen a lot of Lupin movies.
I think we've almost actually seen all the movies, except for, like, a few of the TV ones, and even a lot of those we've seen. We need to see more of the TV, and we need to read manga, because we haven't read any manga at all.
Yep.
All right. So, the other thing we watched the first Galaxy Express 999 movie, which I've only seen one other time in my life.
Yep, I saw parts of it on the Sci-Fi Channel when I was in, like, sixth grade.
I saw the whole thing on the Sci-Fi Channel sometime in middle school or high school, or I don't even remember. But watching it again, I didn't get the same feelings of, oh my god, wow, from the first time when I saw it. But that's probably just because I've seen 1,100 anime since then. But it was still really, really good.
Yeah, it was most excellent. I'm very much starting to become a fan of this whole Mytel, Harlock, Arcadia story.
Emeraldus.
Yeah, Queen Emeraldus.
Galaxy Express. All that stuff is in the same universe, even though it's like a bunch of separate stuff. But it's way cool. And, you know, I remember that there were some things that I remember that didn't happen and some things that happened that I didn't remember. You know, whenever you watch something and then watch it again like 100 years later, that always happens. Like, I remember there being more explanation about, like, the mystery of the train. But in fact, there was none of that when I watched it again.
Well, there was one quick explanation. Why does it look like an old train? Oh, they made it to look like an old train. It's actually an advanced spaceship.
No, but I remember there being, like, explanations about, like, how the train worked and, like, what was going on inside of it and why it was the way it was and where it came from and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
That might have been one of the other movies. I don't know. But I remembered wrong because there was none of that in this movie.
Regardless, it's an excellent movie, though it tries to cover a lot in less time than it probably should have spent.
Yeah, that's the one problem I had with it, is that it started out where he's going to get the count, right? At the time castle.
Yeah, there's this Count Mecca who murdered his mother for fun.
And the movie is about him seeking vengeance. And, you know, that wraps up like before the end of the movie, and then there's this added on bit. And the added-on bit is, like, the actual, I guess, the message of the movie is, like, you know, kind of they say it for sure at the end there. But it felt like, you know, something ended, and you were ready for the movie to end, and then there was more.
But see, I like that, because to me, I got the feeling of a lot of movies just end, and they end it, like, right after the climax when the plot is resolved, but they never really deal with the aftermath. And I really like this movie really goes into, wow, you've completed this goal that you've been searching for most of your cognizant life to complete. Now what?
Yeah.
What do you do now?
I guess it's okay because it's not so bad. It's kind of like a square boss. You know, like you beat the final boss and there's another boss. Oh my god, secret boss. You know, it's that kind of thing, which can be fun as long as it's not overdone.
Man, in Final Fantasy IV Advance, there are like 5 square bosses. Like a square boss of a square boss of a square boss.
Great. Not like Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles with the...
Oh, God.
Yeah. Enough square bosses there. But yeah, if you haven't seen Galaxy Express movie, highly recommended.
And moving right along, we watched the first episode of Samurai Champloo, which is the only Samurai Champloo I've actually seen.
I've seen the whole show, and let me say, I love the show.
I gotta say, now that I've actually seen it, I like it. It seems to pull a lot of tricks. Like, they'll start to show something, they'll be like, oh, wait, nope, never mind. Or, wait, back that up, now I'll just explain it. And it jumps around a lot. And it's a style I haven't seen much before, and I really like it.
Well, that's really just the first episode is like that. But the thing is that each episode has its own different kind of style. Like, and each episode is like about a different thing altogether, even though there is a contiguous plot. So this one had the cut back and forth kind of action going on. Other episodes will kind of have like this, you know, like a weird kind of feeling. Others will have more like this fun, kind of jovial, bouncing around kind of action going on. You know, it's always different, which is what I think makes the show great.
Huh.
Like, and the greatest part is like, they have this great, like, I don't know if anachronism is the right word, thing going on, where it's kind of, you know, stuff from now at times, but it's all displaced in the past, but in the past is also kind of messed up. Like, you've got, like, hip-hop graffiti spraying, you know, punks back in the ancient times of samurai and, you know.
Though, the thing is, a lot of people seem to forget that in the real world, there were punk kids back in Rome. There are punk kids in the Mai Sinai civilization. Punk kids have always been around being punks.
Yeah, but they're doing specifically punk things.
Like what? Graffiti? There's graffiti all over in Rome.
No, but wait till you see these episodes. It's like a direct clashing of ancient samurai culture and modern hip-hop culture that is very fun. And of course, there is a real actual plot that gets resolved in the 26th episode.
Oh, yeah, the wanting to find the samurai who smells like sunflowers.
Yeah, that is the actual plot of the show that does end.
I like it. It's a typical mysterious anime plot that lets the show go on while being vague enough to not constrain it.
Yep, it is a typical anime plot, and when it gets resolved, it's pretty much like you don't even realize that they've come across it. Well, I guess you kind of do, but not really. And pretty good wrap-up. You know, it's nothing like crazy. It's not like other animes where, you know, you have this great build-up, and it's like, oh my god, here it is, oh my god. It's like, they've been looking for the thing, they've been looking for the thing, they've been looking for the thing. There it is, and we're done. That was great.
I really like the characters from what I've seen. The two main samurai guys just have this edgy, adversarial, funny dialogue kind of vibe that I enjoy.
Yeah, well, it's Spike Spiegel and a serious guy.
Yeah, basically.
It's like an Abbott and Costello kind of thing.
Though it seems like a slightly less intelligent Spike Spiegel.
No, he's pretty smart, and he actually has some history that's revealed and stuff. But, you know, it's like, actually, you could think of it as in, like, Spike Spiegel split in half. Like, there's the crazy kind of, one guy looks just like him. That's the guy we're talking about, Mugen. And he's the kind of crazy, fun, loose guy. And the other guy is like the serious samurai, you know? And Spike Spiegel is like Mugen with more seriousness and intelligence. So if you take that seriousness out and you put that in the Jin character, it's kind of like that. Because it is made by the Cowboy Bebop guy.
Yeah, which is really, really evident whenever there's a fight scene. Because they fight just like Cowboy Bebop people fight.
Yep.
Jumping around, kind of hip-hop, kicking their feet around like a monkey, kung fu action.
And the animation is all the same style and everything. And,
yeah.
Yeah. And but the main character, I guess she's the main character, Fu, is really cute and funny.
Yeah. She's also, what I like is, I like the fact that while she's a typical cute, funny female lead in an anime, you even from the first episode, you can tell that, one, she's smart. Mm-hmm. And two, she does the right thing in a situation. Like, two guys are fighting with swords, she gets the hell out of that room.
Yep. Or like later when she's like, I have to free those guys, and then she goes and gets some fireworks from the firework maker. That was just great. It's like, she can't fight with a sword, she goes to buy some fireworks. Boom! Crazy stuff happens.
Yep. I like her.
Yeah, very cool. Alright. So,
yeah, that was kind of a short anime episode, but we're kind of in the middle of watching a bunch of new anime, so we can talk about it.
Yep, and not only that, but it's the week in between Christmas and New Year's, which means not much is going on, and, you know, we got less listeners, less action, but that's to be expected during a week like this.
Also, we've been rather busy planning a crazy New Year's bash for all our friends.
Yep, it's going to be pretty crazy.
All our friends who don't freaking RSVP, and we don't know, we have no idea how many people are actually coming.
Yeah, well, hey, if you don't RSVP, you get what you get.
One thing we've learned is, when we were in college, we always wanted to throw big parties, but none of us had money, and all the apartments we had were small, like college apartments. So parties were always just us sitting around. And then we'd all, like, scrounge up money to get some cheap Chinese food. Now we're actually throwing a party, as in we're providing food, like catered food and drinks and all that sort of thing. And you know what? Parties cost money.
They sure do.
Good God. I was trying to figure out how much food my friends could eat in a day, and I realized that the answer is indeed all of it.
While they're beating up the two-year-old.
Five-year-olds. All right, that might have been a little bit of an inside joke. So, in lieu of being chastised for it, I'll explain very quickly. There was a debate on the internet, and it has been immortalized as the longest and yet at the same time most trivial debate that has ever taken place.
Wow.
It went on for tens of thousands of posts across multiple forums over the course of like 6 months.
Holy crap, I didn't realize it was that big.
Oh, it was on FARC, it was everywhere. And basically, the argument was, say you were attacked by a mob of five-year-olds, fearless five-year-olds. So they're just saying someone with the physical power of a five-year-old. And those five-year-olds were given 1 hour of instruction from some sort of martial arts master. You are also given 1 hour of instruction from a martial arts master. You're put in a gym, and the debate was, how many of them could you take out before they took you out? And they started defining this very explicitly, like, well, taken out means knocked unconscious and blah, 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 and no weapons. And to the bodies of knocked out ones disappear, would you eventually drown in five-year-olds?
Nah.
And there's nothing more I can really say about that. people just argued about this to a crazy degree.
And the only funny thing you have to remember is the one guy's answer. How many five-year-olds could you take out?
All of them.
That's the right answer. So, as always, go to the forums and hang out. There's people there actually talking a lot about cool stuff. If you go and hang out there, that's cool too.
Yep. And we've been working a lot on the audio. I don't know how much people notice this or not, because I think we notice changes in audio a lot more than other people listening do, because we do it. But every podcast last week has been different. I've been playing around with a lot of different methods of cleaning up and different normalization crap. Once I figure out what I'm doing really well, I'm going to do a show on it and tell you all how to do it.
Yep.
But for now, if one episode sounds particularly good or particularly bad, let us know.
Yeah, let us know all kinds of stuff, because really no one lets us know anything about this podcast.
Yeah.
Geeknights@gmail.com.
Or call that phone number.
Yeah, the phone number we forgot again.
Great.
I'm going to write it down, don't worry.
It's on the website.
Yeah.
But really, let us know, because while I test on small samples, because these filters take a long time to run, so I'll get like a 2-minute wave of us talking, and I'll fiddle with it and try to see what I can do. And then I have to end up applying these things to very long wave files, and it takes a long time to do. And I don't have time every night to sit there and listen to every podcast to see how it sounds in its entirety. So it might, like, well, a filter I come up with might work really well in one spot, but then it breaks later on when we're both talking at the same time, or Scott breathes into the mic again.
That happens.
Darth Scott.
I am your podcaster.
That was not funny.
No kidding.
You know what would have been funny? If this is a diplomatic podcast, where is the ambassador?
I'm the ambassador. Whatever.
Yeah, but stay tuned tomorrow, because we watched Star Wars 4, 5, and 6 over the past week, and we're going to do a show on Star Wars. And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for the opening music.
Thanks for listening. Please remember to point your favorite podcatcher at feeds.feedburner.com/geeknights to get the latest episodes as soon as they're released. Also, please visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com for the latest updates and forum discussions. And whether you love or hate our podcast, we won't know unless you send your feedback to us at geeknights@gmail.com.